and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir over all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being in the brightness of his glory, and now here's the statement to just kind of hang on to tonight, and the expressed image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now you think that's a very deep topic, honestly, to who being in the brightness of his glory and the expressed image of his person. And you think about God existing as Elohim alone, with his attributes, just himself, in that dimension, all by himself, that seventh dimension. And then, his attributes, with his thoughts. But then how would we know him, and how would we be able to fellowship with him? How would we be able to understand him if he did not express himself? So, you know, we understand that a thought is, or a word is a thought expressed. So God's thoughts are like his attributes. So he expressed them. So here is it saying that Jesus Christ is the expressed image of his person. So he is the expression of every attribute. In other words, every characteristic, everything that makes God who he is, his nature, the way that he reacts to situations, the way that he is, was expressed in Jesus Christ. What a strange thing, too, that you could take all the attributes and characteristics of God and bottle them up in a little 5-foot man, a little man walking on the shores of Galilee. But that man would express everything that could be expressed about God in that little man. So, in other words, Brother Brown would say that you always can tell that it's God by the characteristics that are expressed. And see, God, before the foundation of the world, he had in him attributes. And we can hardly even approach to explain how, the book of Job says that those attributes shouted for joy before the foundation of the world. You think about God within himself. The Bible says that he could look down through time and see that Christ was slain before the foundation of the world, the Bible tells us. So it was an attribute, like it's something that's real. And so, you know, we maybe just kind of to meditate on that for a moment, that we think that, you know, God, when he was dwelling alone with his attributes, that he was just kind of like floating through space or something. But no, these attributes are like a real part of himself he's looking down through eternity, can see that when you're going to get the new birth and when Jesus is going to be slain on the cross, and he's looking at these things as though they're really unfolding before him, so much so that his attributes within himself can shout for joy to see the plan of redemption. And one day there was an attribute, not one day there was an attribute reserved, but there one day you come to a place where you heard the word and were linked back to that thought that God had about you before the foundation of the world. And so that attribute, that thought, was expressed in you. Now that's what we're talking about tonight. Now, Jesus is the expressed image of his person. He's the expression of all of the attributes of Christ bottled up in that little man. But then in that man were you and I, because we had to be expressed as well. And the way that you're going to be able to recognize Christ in every age is just how you recognize Jesus Christ. The way that you recognize Christ in you and I is how you recognize Jesus Christ, by the characteristics. You know, if you really look at what the definition of these terms, I think it's you talk about wisdom. The reason why Brother Branham would use the word characteristic instead of character, because character is the unseen, that it's just who you are. It's your unseen makeup. But it's going to be declared by characteristics. In other words, on the inside, you've got who you are, but it's going to be put in motion with the way that you react to situations, the way that you ask for forgiveness, The way that you're willing to humble yourself to the word, the way you're willing to come like a little lamb. And see, God is going to, when he gives you the new birth, he gives you his divine nature. So he changes your nature to be like him. And that's how you recognize that as God. Brother Brown, just kind of examining this thing out. Before a word, it's a thought. It's God at God's attributes. Then it becomes a thought, then a word. So everything that we see here, all these pews, the earth that we're standing on, the sun, the moon, the star, everything started off as a thought. Everything started off as a thought. But it's got to be expressed. So Jesus is the expression of everything that God is, his character, his nature, his faith, his divinity. Oh, you think about that. It's the same nature. If you can put that same nature that was in Christ in you and I, then we will. He said, if you can take the spirit of John Dillinger and put it in a man, he'll act like John Dillinger. He'll be twirling that gun. If you put the same nature of a man in somebody else, they'll start acting like that man. If you put the nature of God in a man, then he'll start acting like God. He'll have the same nature, the same characteristics. Brother Ram would say in the spoken word is the original seed. He said, when God's spirit waters the seed of God, the word of God, it produces God. And it's not the individual. It's God. For what you are dead, you're not yourself no more. You reckon yourself dead, hollowed out, waiting for the seed germ. Then what is it? It isn't you no more. It's the man. It's God in the man. Amen. It's the seed germ in like the beginning, spoken word. It's God's word made manifest in the man. In other words, you're going to look like your daddy. You're going to act like your daddy. You're going to walk and talk like your daddy. Even in the natural, and your physical, the physical genes carry all these traits that you pass down to your children and your grandchildren from generation to generation, and you can look back and recognize that, well, I look the way I do and I act the way I do because in the natural, it's because you've got the genes of your grandfather or your father. But in the spiritual, you've got the genes of your spiritual daddy, and God doesn't have any grandchildren. So we're all sons and daughters of the living God, and he expresses, we are actually the expression of the thought that God had before the foundation of the world. So I keep saying, right now, the life that we are living is the thought that God had about us before the foundation of the world. That he had a thought about you that you would come to. He thought that he knew that one day you would hear the word and you would receive the word. And by receiving the word, by the receiving the expression of the thought of God in God's mind, you become the expression of the thought in God's mind. That it actually expresses his thought and you take on his characteristics. Now there's something to meditate on when we go home tonight. This is what stirs everybody up when you start preaching along these lines, that you've got to have a nature change. Your character has got to change. There is one time in this sermon where Brother Branham said, it's your care. Your character is how you're identified. But the rest of the time he says, it's your characteristics, and your characteristics are derived from your character. It's going to express who you are. And so, therefore, it should be easy to discern a Christian. That's really the summation of the matter. It should be easy to discern a Christian. Why? Because you're going to walk, you're going to talk, you're going to act like your daddy. You know, just in the natural, people have characteristics that make them unique. They've got, some people are shy and withdrawn, and some people don't talk too much. I mean, some people have a lot of information to share, and everybody's got their own characteristics that, if you were listening to somebody on the phone, you would be able to identify them and say, well, I know who that is, because how would you be able to do it? Because you could tell who it is. It's the characteristics that identify them. And if Jesus Christ was sitting right here and not saying a word, sitting right here on the front row, as soon as he began to do the characteristics that identified him, you'd be able to tell that that's who it was, just like on the road to Emmaus. He took him behind the door and shut the door and did something in the same way that he did before, and it identified who he was because of his characteristics, and they were able to recognize, well, that's Jesus Christ. And that's why Brother Brown preached these sermons, identification, and God is always identified by his characteristics and on, because you can begin to recognize, that it's God. It's God in the midst of the church. It's God in your life. If you're really born again of God, that he's changed your nature. He's taken out. Oh, that's why Brother Branham preached all of these sermons about pride, because that's not of God. He preached these sermons about meanness, because that's not of God. He preached all these sermons to kind of straighten things out so that we would be able to recognize whether or not it's God. God does not have a mean, hateful spirit full of enmity and strife. God is a God of love and peace and joy and all those things. So I actually used it. I know everybody's using artificial intelligence these days, but I used AI, artificial intelligence. Not the other, to pull out all these things that Paul said would be characteristics of a genuine Christian. A long list of characteristics that make a Christian identifiable. And so you got love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, compassion, humility, meekness, forgiveness, unity in Christ, hope, perseverance, generosity, hospitality, prayerfulness, thankfulness, honesty, integrity, obedience, spiritual growth, rejection of worldly values, love for enemies, service to others, bearing others' burdens, living by faith, speaking truth, avoiding sexual immorality, submitting to one another, pursuing righteousness, godliness, endurance, gentleness, contentment, sound doctrine, good works, and self-discipline. And, you know, the thing is, we get in our mind, well, I got to really go to work now. I got to get busy. But you'll never have any of these things by busying yourself and working it up within yourself. And that's what we get caught up. We start making these lists of do's and don'ts, but you'll never be able to accomplish it by putting all these peacock feathers in and trying to fake something. But it only comes by a genuine nature change, where God gets a hold of your life by you receiving the word for your day, and your nature is changed. Now, church, we got to have a nature change. And these traits do not align with Christian nature. Pride, selfishness, greed, hatred, envy, jealousy, deceit, dishonesty, cruelty, malice, anger, vengefulness, lust, gluttony, sloth, cowardice, hypocrisy, unforgiveness, arrogance, indifference, intolerance, impatience, faithlessness, ingratitude, gossip, slander, vulgarity, impurity, hard-heartedness, stubbornness, disobedience, rebelliousness, mercilessness, contempt, callousness, insincerity, duplicity, violence, avarice, wastefulness, blasphemy, and idolatry. Those things you can look at. Well, that something's wrong if you see those things manifested. If you see something that's contrary, something where, you know, all of those things begin to be manifested out of something that out of an impure fountain. Oh, that's why Jesus said, "You take a man and you plant." Brother Bram said, the Bible said, "You take a man and plant him by the rivers of water." Amen. He's going to. What is it? It's the life. The life in the roots begins to push up from what? From that inexhaustible fountain, the ocean of God in that other dimension is pushing up from you, pushing up within you. The life is pushing up to declare the characteristics, to declare, to express the attributes of God. It's expressing the attributes of God. You can always identify God by his characteristics. You can identify everything by its characteristics. And now Brother Branham would lay it out like this. You can see a yellowhammer when he's flying and a jaybird. They look a whole lot alike. But the yellowhammer flops his wings and drops. And then it goes up and down. And the jaybird flies more in a beeline. So you look and we'll say, well, they're both birds. But one is going to act like the other or different than the other. One acts in a certain way that you could say, that is not a jaybird, that's a yellowhammer. And you can look at it and see that that's not a jaybird, that's a yellowhammer. And he said, you watch the quail when he comes up, the bobwhite, how he flies. You watch how the gamble quail when he comes, you hunters, you see there's a difference. Watch the jacksnipe and the Wilson snipe. The characteristic determines what he is. Now, you'll notice how he's laying this out. He's picking examples that are real close. This kind of snipe and another kind of snipe. They're both snipes. Well, how are you going to tell them apart? Now, see, in this age, this is the fine-tuning age, where it's coming up to a razor-sharp edge. And we got to get away from this thought in our mind. Well, you just can't tell. Listen, it helps to tell. We've been going to all these camp meetings and preachers are preaching on. You better be able to tell what kind of church you're going to. Young people, when you get older and you're making decisions, you don't go into things haphazardly. Well, I don't know. I don't know whether they're preaching the truth or not. I don't know what kind of characteristics to look for. Young ladies and young men, when you're talking to young people and you're thinking about getting married, you better be able to tell something. See, what are you looking for? You're looking for the nature. You're looking for the nature. We were talking about this coming up the road that, you know, when these young men come around wanting to talk to my daughter, who's now married. But, you know, I wasn't even so much concerned about their past and their do's and don'ts, but I was concerned about their nature. Do you love my daughter? Are you going to work until your fingers bleed? The rest of those things will take care of themselves. And so let's frame it up like that. The do's and the don'ts will take care of themselves if you've got a nature change. Why is a nature change so important? Because it matters more that you care about slipping and falling than actually slipping and falling. And that's maybe a difficult thing for us to quantify. But if you slip and you fall and you get up and you're like, well, just don't point your fingers at me. But if you slip and you fall and you are worried about it and you get up and you're, oh, God, I don't want to be like that. And God, forgive me. And if you slip and fall and mess up, maybe lose your temper with your spouse. If you have the kind of nature where you are repentant and want to ask for forgiveness and get things straightened out, that matters a whole lot more than getting a whiteboard out and saying who's wrong and who's right and arguing over it. I'd rather a heap more have a nature where I'm willing to say, oh God, I'm sorry, than to get up in somebody's face and say, bless God, I've committed less offenses than you have. It's the characteristics that manifest, that actually declare whether you are getting your source of strength, your divine life, your nature from God or from something else. You've got to know the characteristics. Brother Ram said you have to know the characteristics of them to detect what it is and what is not. And you know, that's really what discernment is. Now, we know Brother Branham had that higher level of discernment. Well, he could look in your heart and see what's going on in your heart. Amen. See what's going on in your spirit realm. Amen. But surely we can look at the outward display and tell whether something is right or wrong. I'll tell you, that'll grieve a minister anytime to look at somebody and it seems like they just don't know what's right or wrong. They get into a situation and they don't know, well, I can't tell whether it's right or wrong. Let's just go through some examples, just for an exercise. Let's say a young lady says she was just born again and then she goes out to a bar. You see, her nature is obviously not changed. And we could try to be all politically correct and everything and say, well, she says she's born again, and she says this and that. But if your nature is not changed, there's something that's wrong. A young man wants to date a young lady, but he constantly disrespects her and her family. Now, come on, these are real practical examples. You get into a situation like this, and you come up with your blinders over your eyes and say, well, I don't see nothing. But let's take the blinders off and look with a clear vision, with discernment, and able to see that there's something wrong if a young man wants to date your daughter and he's all disrespectful and I'm not hitting on any recent example. I'm hitting on my own life and my own experiences, the things that I've lived through. When you get in these kind of situations, that you need to be able to look with the ability to tell what's true and what's false. What about a businessman that wants to donate $100,000 to his favorite preacher? Can we tell there's something wrong? You know, you give a lot of money like that, there's always going to be strings attached. Somebody come along and they want to be able to pull the strings and tell you what to preach and influence the decisions you make. Or a man that humiliates and trash talks his wife. Anybody should be able to say, well, there's something wrong. Well, you get around, go out to eat with somebody, and they just sitting there just trashing their wife and humiliating them. That's not coming from the fountain of everlasting life. Now, to see, I'm not de-Christianizing nobody or saying anything, but all I'm saying is that you know the saying, if it looks like a duck and walks like a duck, it's a duck. So I want to look like a Christian and walk like a Christian. I don't want there to be any question or whatever. I want to be so set apart with God until I know. Till it's apparent by my characteristics that I display what I am. Paul told Timothy, he said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In other words, being able to tell the difference, being able to tell whether somebody's preaching right or not. I was talking to somebody recently on the phone, and I'm going to leave a lot of details out just to be vague, but I was actually speaking extremely highly of this particular brother that I know that's a preacher. I was telling this other brother, if you watch that brother's got a good nature. And he told me, but there's so many people that say evil things about this brother. There's so many. I just find so many times that people can't tell what's true and what's false. They don't know because they don't know what they're looking for. You're looking for a nature. Now, we get so caught up in all the doctrine and all the revelation and all those kind of things, having our head full of information and that kind of stuff. But, you know, if you've got revelation, it's going to change your life. If you've really got a relationship with God and you've been in the Holy of Holies alone with God, it's going to change you so that you're different, and you're going to be different, and you're going to get rid of all that pride, because it's got to drop away. The devil can't hang around something that's true, and all that meanness and all that pride and all that enmity and avarice is going to drop away, and you're going to be able to live a different kind of a life. You're going to be able to live a different kind of life. You know all those examples that we use, the goat and this lamb, the crow and the dove, the pig and the sheep, and the crow stuffing peacock feathers into it. Those are real examples of that. There's something that's real close, but the difference is going to be the characteristic. The characteristic. That's why I was saying it. Making a mistake doesn't mean you're not a Christian. But not caring that you made a mistake might. It's the nature change. Oh, and let's just sit on that for a little bit. Let's get away from making our list of do's and don'ts and saying, well, it's almost like when we start talking to somebody, we've got our list of things that I've done and things that you haven't done. And we've got our list that we can compare against. But Christianity is not about making lists. It's not about, you'll never get into heaven by on your works of righteousness or all the things that you've done. You'll get into heaven because God's righteousness has been applied to you, and he's changed your nature because you are an expression of him. You're an expression of him. So it doesn't matter. You know, maybe that'll make us look at things different. If you've done something against me, there's probably a whole lot of stuff that I've done against you. And if we could just shove that over to the side, and just look at it through God's eyes. Look at it the way God looks at things. That we're already covered by his blood. And if not for that blood, we'd all be in a terrible shape. You couldn't stand 1 second in the presence of a holy God without his blood, without his righteousness. It's not our righteousness that makes us clean. It's the nature. It's the nature of the characteristics of the expression of the genes. And what kind of a nature change are we talking about? That when you get born again, you desire the word. You want the word. You want more God. There's something pulling at you that you want to, you just can't hardly stay away from it. Things get rough at work and you know right where to run to. You run to your little prayer closet. You start looking at the word for some inspiring scriptures. And you can't get away from it. Now I keep talking about how that, you know, we listen to a lot of tapes in our home. I heard a minister the other day. He said you should be listening to a tape every day. And I wonder, you know, you almost make that, you can turn that into a do or don't. But if it's coming from a love of God, it's not something like a requirement that you got to get hammered over the head to do. But it's because you love God. And that's what I'm talking about. It's a nature change where you, something on the inside has been changed to where you want to do right, to where it's automatic. It's automatic. You don't have to think about it. A lamb doesn't have to think about bearing wool. It's just going to bear forth a wool. A dove doesn't have to think, well, I better not eat that or it's going to kill me. I better not. It's just automatically in it. And so then it begins to express his characteristics and so forth in his life. That's why Brother Branham said, your life speaks so loud, I can't hear your testimony. What we are, how we talk, no matter what we say, our life speaks louder than our words does. Amen. And Matthew 7:16 says, ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Right. Now, Brother Branham would use the example that you can't tell by the fruits, because you can't tell. You can a lot of times just put on the outside and go pay somebody's hospital bill or go do something, you know, go to work in a soup kitchen and spoon out some soup for a homeless person. And it looks like fruits. Yeah. But the fruits, the genuine fruit, has got to come as a divine expression, welling up from that everlasting life, that fountain within you, as an expression of the attributes of God. It's not something that you just put on like putting on peacock feathers, but it's something that you're actually living out by that divine nature. And I keep stating these things. We hammer on what are the thunders, but Brother Branham said how we need in Jeffersonville thousands of lived voices. The thunder of God thundering out in sweetness and holiness. Yes, sir, real Christians, that's thunder against the enemy. You see, you can learn all of the things that you can learn. You can memorize every bit of scripture like the Pharisees did. But the thunder is when the life of God is manifesting the things that you have heard, and it's revealed in a living, walking, talking. That's what'll hurt the devil, is a real sanctified, holy life consecrated to God. So what I'm saying tonight is you can know the characteristics of God. Brother Branham would say, how can you tell the left hand and the right hand apart? You'd hold them up, and they both have fingerprints. They both have five fingers. They both have a thumb, four fingers and a thumb. If you're just going to describe it like that, how would you tell it apart? Amen. How would you tell somebody how to know? They, you know, you could lay them over like that. How would you know? It looks, and let's get real deep now. He's talking about something spiritual. Everything is identically alike. The only difference is the characteristic of it. One is the left hand and one is the right hand. That's the only difference. It almost comes down to you know it because you know it. That's the left hand, because I can tell it's the left hand. And he said, that's just the way the spirits will be in the last day. They will, just the characteristic of it will detect whether it is of God or not. One of them will be right, and the other one will be wrong. You'll only know it by the characteristic of God. It's the characteristic that tells what it is. Now, you look at Israel when they were coming out of Egypt, and Moses was leading them out. And Brother Ram would say, as Moses brought them out, you watch what his characteristics. Watch how Moses did things. And they got almost to the promised land, and they ran up against Moab. And they come to another great nation, which was Moab, and Moab was a great nation. Not heathen by no means. That was Lot's daughter's children's. And listen to how he frames it up. They were believers. They were believers. Now watch the two nations. One of them is a recognized nation. The other one is a sojourner. And now they come to the place that this great nation of Moab lays right straight in the line of their path of duty to go to the promised land. And he's going to give us a little lesson on how to tell them apart. He said, look at the two nations. Each of them had a prophet. One of them was the great teacher and prophet Balaam. And the other one was Moses. Now look, both of these groups of people, they both had the fundamental understanding of the word. They both had the fundamental teaching. They both were looking to Christ, because he said on each altar they had a ram that was offered that was a type of Christ. So Balaam is teaching, looking for Christ, and Moses is looking for Christ. Both of them were offering a clean sacrifice. They were offering a bullock. They had everything matching exactly the same. The only thing that was different, now, one of them, Brother Branham said, one of them, his motives was wrong. Moses just trying to get to the promised land, but Balaam is trying to interfere and just wants to curse. Now, see, look at the characteristics. You look at somebody with that evil characteristic, they just want to hurt somebody. They just want to interfere. And they're just ready to disrupt and reach out like that, and it's the characteristic. Y'all hanging with me? I realize this might be a little bit scalding, but don't look at it that way. Because, you know, you got to look at Scripture to identify your walk. You look at Scripture to identify yourself. You look at the story of Abraham and like, I've been there. I can identify myself with that. You look at the story of Ruth and the story of Esther, and you can identify yourself with that. And you look at Christ, and if you identify yourself with Christ, you begin to identify yourself with the attribute that God thought of you before the foundation of the world. But if on the other side, you're identifying yourself with the negative, then say, woe is me, and let's get busy and change things. Yeah, you know, you can't help but be identified with the preaching of the gospel, with the word that's being displayed. I remember years ago, I was preaching one time, and I was preaching on adultery. And I got met out in the parking lot of the church that I was preaching at. And the brother was like, you're preaching on my family. And you want to say, well, why you have a problem with that? I was preaching on adultery. And see, you begin to identify yourself with that part of the preaching, just like that story of Brother Branham telling that story of the woman that said, well, you called me a crow or whatever it was, a goat, whatever. If you're listening to it and you identify yourself with that, then don't just say, well, don't get all offended. That's the parable of Jesus calling the woman a dog. Now, Jesus might not be calling you a dog right now. The preacher might not be calling you a dog, but he might be calling you a sinner by the preaching of the word. And whether you get something from the master depends on how you respond to it. It's whether you get something is how, whether you say, well, Lord, just give me some crumbs. Give me whatever I can get. But, you know, let the chips fall where they may. I'm ready to receive what the word says. But look at the character. The character. Look at the character of Balaam. Now let's look at the character of Judas. I'm always astonished at Judas, reading about him. Judas sitting there as they're up in that upper room as they're breaking bread, and Judas, you know, Jesus says, one of y'all are going to betray me. And look at the characteristics of the other disciples. They began to examine themselves. Is it, who is it? Is it me? Now see, it's character. Judas, what did he do? He didn't care. Put his bread in the sop with Jesus, swirling around. Jesus told him, get up and go do what you're going to do. Judas didn't care. Sopped, just mopped it up, ate his little morsel. And out the door he went. He didn't care if Jesus called him out. He didn't care. It's the character. You can identify things by the characteristics. What are you doing, Judas? Do you not care? Do you not care that you're going? That Balaam wanted to curse Israel and Judas wanted to destroy Jesus. Do you not care? Balaam was so quick to curse. You know, there's the real characteristic of a real Christian. It's not to curse, not to wish somebody evil, not to look for vengeance, not to look for revenge. But Jesus forgave. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Paul forgave. He said, at my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. Brother Branham was gentle when he was accused of being Beelzebub. This man said, Mr. Branham, the very idea of you standing before as many people as you do teaching that divine healing is not done by Satan. And I wrote the man back and said, first, I want to forgive you. The first thing he did when he wrote him back was forgive him. See, you can identify what's going on by the characteristic. Are you ready to seek vengeance? Or are you ready to forgive? Are you ready to sow discord? Or are you ready to sow peace? But look, Balaam was fundamental. He had the same teaching as Moses. We'll say it like that. Same seven altars, same sacrifices, same fundamental doctrine, same understanding. Everything was the same, the same, the same. One was a prophet. The other was not a prophet. Oh, wait. No, he was a prophet too. They were both prophets. They had everything exactly the same. But what was identified, Moses was identified with the characteristics of God. And what are the characteristics of God? There, down in the camp of Moses, was the pillar of fire, the supernatural light hanging over them. And there was great healings in the camp. And in other words, what's going to identify a Christian is the supernatural. It's a divine nature that's changed you. You see all these things that I read earlier, that long list? You ain't going to have that by the natural. You're not going to inherit that from your mama and daddy. You only inherit that from your spiritual daddy. It's a supernatural life with a supernatural vindication, with supernatural signs. And in the case of the children of Israel, it was carrying them to a supernatural promise, just like we are being carried to a supernatural promise. It's the supernatural. Oh, that's why that picture of the pillar of fire that we got hanging on the wall over Brother Ram's head is not just something that we look at, but it's a sign that that same pillar of fire, it didn't go on the ground with Brother Branham, but it's here now actually living in the hearts and lives of the believer, the same supernatural God. It's the same supernatural identifying his same characteristics in the church. That's the only way that you can discern the true and the false is by the presence of the expression of God's genes, the presence of the expression of God's nature, his characteristics actually expressing in your life. And Brother Bram said, I like this. He said, there was the sound of a shout of the king down here with Israel. You know what that means? It means that the presence of God was announced and acknowledged among the people. In other words, God was moving down there. God, it wasn't just a cold, formal service where nobody cared anymore, but there was something moving. There was a supernatural light down there that was moving in the hearts and the lives of the people. God was down there doing something for the people. Oh, they were offering their sacrifices and their sins were getting forgiven. They had a confidence in what God was doing. He said they had an atonement. The atonement was in effect, the brass serpent and the smitten rock. In other words, they were reconciled back to God. There was no different. There was nothing. They were able to approach to God and have fellowship with him. They were reconciled with God through the atonement. God was with them, identifying himself in a supernatural light and healing their sickness and diseases as they went on. And that's why, you know, I see brothers out at camp meetings and things and preaching, and something just wells up within me many times, and I'm, you know what? I am glad to be identified with that. Amen. There's a lot of other things that I don't want to be identified with. But when I see the characteristic of God being demonstrated and the life of God, the divine nature on display, I'm proud to be identified with that. That's how you're going to be able to tell is when God is on display, the shout of the king is in the camp, people are recognizing that God is moving and their natures are being changed. Yes, you see, God's characteristics are not natural, they're supernatural. It's always been supernatural. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, God gave that promise to Adam and Eve. I'll put enmity between thee and the woman and between thy seed and her seed. In other words, it ain't going to be by something natural this time. It's going to be by a supernatural expression of the attributes of God. He said, I'll give you a seed. You done tried it your way. Now it's time for me to do it my way. Amen. By the supernatural. Amen. And in Matthew 1, when she was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And the Holy Ghost come on the scene and changed everything. Amen. Joel chapter 2, verse 28 says, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. You know, there's a lot of people where the Holy Spirit falls on their flesh and they only dance and shout, and that's as deep as it goes. There's a lot of people where the Holy Spirit falls on their spirit and they receive gifts and things, and that's as deep as it goes. But if God can ever anoint your soul with the eye salve of spiritual sight that comes from a new birth experience, it will manifest the gene characteristic of God. Well, that's what the new birth is. It's not just knowing a lot of things, but it's actually the divine nature being imparted to you to change how you act, to change what you want, to change your desire, to change, to take away that old stubborn nature, to take away that old argumentative nature, and make you to act like Jesus. Now you think about that. That if Jesus was an expression of God, so are you and I. We're actually expressing the thoughts of God. We're an expression of deity. As we receive the Word, we're becoming the Word. We're actually expressing what God thought about us. In the message leadership, he said, look here, you're an outside person. And I'll be closing in a minute. I'm not staying long tonight. I'm going to close. And I'm telling the truth. You have five senses that contacts that outside body. God gave you five senses not to contact him, your earthly home, see, taste, feel, smell, and hear. Then you have a spirit on the inside of that, and it has five outlets. And your physical contacts the physical, your spiritual contacts the spiritual. But inside of that, you've got a soul. And that soul is that gene that come from God. In other words, God knew you, and he thought about you, and he is going to express his characteristics in your life. Now, there's that seed gene that he knew you. And he knew you'd want it. And he had something for you. And what he had for you was you were predestinated to express the characteristics of God. You were predestinated to be a living light of this gospel. Wherever you go, and you don't put it under a bushel, but you let it burn bright so that everybody can see what, not how much you know, not how much better you are than somebody else, but they can see your life. Your life is louder than any kind of a sermon. Your life is a sermon in itself. God is manifesting his thoughts. And we'll stop on that. We'll stop right there as the musicians come forward. The characteristics is what identifies us. Amen. The characteristics identify my character, who I am. Like Jesus said, if you can't believe me, then believe the identification that God has given. If you can't believe me, he said, then believe my characteristics. Believe what I'm doing. Believe my works. Believe the life that I'm demonstrated. Believe the expression of the spiritual genetics that you can see working in my life. Amen. Aren't you glad that it's not what we do, but it's what he does? Yes, it's not our own nature, but it's his nature that's been imparted to us. As we stand to our feet, let's just worship the Lord. Oh, I'm so thankful for a new birth to take away that old nature, to clean me out and change me and make me like him. And tonight, if you haven't received that new nature, if you feel that little tug, maybe tonight there's something that's just kind of pricking your heart a little bit. You know, that's what Jesus told Paul there on that road. He said, why do you kick against the pricks? And sometimes we get to a place where we kick against God trying to push us into his promises. He'd prick and prick and prick. Maybe you've been kicking at the pricks, but maybe it's time to stop like Paul did. If you think about the grace of God that Paul, he said, I was zealous to go and kill Christians. There was something wrong in his life, but God stopped him in his tracks. You know, God, there's so many things that God can, after so many things after we've lived our life, that God catches us and changes us. But, you know, I'm so glad of all the things that God kept us from, too. God kept us from so much. Oh, don't you hear him calling to you? Don't you feel him pricking at you? Maybe tonight, if you just lift up your hand and say, I want more of you, Lord Jesus. Say like that black woman that said, I'm not where I want to be, but I sure ain't where I used to be. I know something's changing me. Lord God, thank you for your presence here tonight, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, that you give us a word to prick us and cut us sometimes, Lord Jesus. I believe you did it, Lord, because you love us. Lord, you're looking down with love, Lord Jesus, at all these hands that are raised up to you, Lord Jesus. It's because we need you, Lord God. Lord, we need you, Lord. We want more and more of that divine nature to just be poured into us, Lord Jesus. And pour it in, I pray, Lord God, until you just take us over and change every fiber of our being. That's my desire, Lord, tonight. Lord, if there's anything wrong in my life, I want it taken out.
Lord, if I've done anything wrong or hurt anybody, Lord, forgive me. Lord, I don't want any meanness. I don't want any pride. I don't want anything. I don't want to hurt nobody. Lord, but I want my life to draw others to you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I want to be cleansed and sanctified and set apart, Lord Jesus. Lord, where you can make me a vessel of honor, Lord Jesus. I pray, God, I know, Lord, that's the desire of every hand raised in the building tonight, Lord Jesus. And I believe, God, you're here to meet our desire. And you're here to change us. Oh, Lord, that's what you sent this message to do, was to not just leave us the same. You didn't leave Paul the same, but you changed him. We saw, he saw the light, but then you filled him, Lord, with that life. And you changed him, Lord, to be a vessel of honor. And you changed his life so that he could change others. You see, you could change others through his life. Lord, that's our desire tonight, Lord God, that we could be yielded to you, Lord Jesus. Come now, Lord Jesus, and move among us, Lord. And help us, Lord, we pray, as we yield ourselves to you. Let's just worship him. If you have a need, we'll be glad to pray with you.
He's guiding me constantly. Giving me victory.
Won't you just show him how much you love him?
He's a reality. Something.
Yeah, that's right. He didn't hold back from us. Let's not hold back from him.
The trials of this world, we're getting closer.
Aren't you glad he's a reality tonight? Once he had a thought in his mind, but then it was expressed, and it was something you could touch, and you could put your fingers in his side or grab him by the hands. And now he's got other thoughts that are now expressed in you and I. And they're not abstract anymore, but they're living reality. He's a reality. He's a living God that you can visibly see by his characteristics. You can see him and identify him. Aren't you glad he's something real? Oh, think, let these words echo in your heart tonight as you go on your way. That he's a real God, that when you need him in times of rough times, you can turn to him. When you need him in the rough times, in the pit, in the valleys, he's there for you. Lord Jesus, we just thank you, God, for all your word that you've given unto us. All these promises, Lord Jesus. All these promises that are bundled up within Christ. I pray, God, that you'll just continue to manifest them to us, Lord Jesus. Let us lay hold of these promises as we leave the building, Lord Jesus. I pray, God, that you'll just continue to strengthen your people and guide them on the way home, Lord Jesus. Be with them, Lord, as they go their way, Lord God. I pray, Lord, that you'll just, Lord, just be with your people, Lord, and help them, Lord, I pray. Amen. God bless you, saints, as you're dismissed. Oh, sorry. Sorry. Hang on. We got an announcement.
For those of you that don't know, Sister Mary Kamani, one of the sisters in our church, passed away Sunday, suddenly 38 years old. And the funeral is going to be Monday at 9 o'clock in the morning at Little Davenport Funeral Home, the same place where Dad was. And at 9 o'clock is visitation, 10 to 11 will be service. And then we're going to go to the Canton. If you look on the Spoken Word Church discussion site, if you don't have that, just ask somebody. It's the Georgia. She was a veteran. So they'll be burying her at the National Cemetery in Canton, which will be about an hour and a half away. Now, the food, they have requested that we do a bag lunch because we can only be there till 11, like at Little Davenport, and then we got to go an hour and something to get to Canton with all that funeral procession. So some of the sisters need to get together, talk to Sister June about putting a bag lunch together. That's what Sister Anna Kamani wanted, her sister, that you get a bag lunch if you're going to the funeral. Now, if you're not going home, don't take a bag lunch. But if you're going to go to take the drive, it's going to be an hour and 15, 20 minutes or more to get there. So they want us to do a bag lunch so you can just pick it up, take a sandwich, a drink, get in your car and eat it while you're going over there. All right. That is if you're going to the funeral, to the burial. The funeral will just be at 10 o'clock. I'll be doing it, so it'll be at 10 o'clock from 10 to 11. So remember that. That will be Monday. And the address is on the WhatsApp site. It'll be in Georgia National Cemetery, 1080 Scott Hudgens Drive, Canton, Georgia. You just look it up, 30114. And it's a military burial. Please be on time so we can't, if you're going to go, don't lag around. And also remember what Brother Anderson said. They only will let you have 3 flowers for some reason, but it's a military cemetery. And they'll let you have 3 flowers. If you want to give anything else, there's a cash app account that you can go to. It's under $ Anna Marunga Zell. If you want to make an online donation, and if you want to just mail you a gift, mail it to Spoken Word Church. And the address is here on the 574. That'll be Mom's address, 574 Herbert Seegers Road. If you want to make a donation, the funeral is they have to have it on Monday or Monday to Friday because the cemetery only opens Monday through Friday. They let you visit Saturday and Sunday, but there are no funerals on Saturday and Sunday, so people can go visit their loved ones that are in that cemetery. So that's why they're doing it at Monday at 9:00 at Little Davenport Funeral Home on Dawsonville Highway, the same place we were just a few months ago. So just keep, see Sister June about the bag lunch. And then also this weekend, this Saturday at 3:00, we're going to do sandwiches again like we did last for the ministers meeting Saturday. Just see Sister June about that. Brother Solomon Huffman will be here, and he will be speaking for us Saturday at 3:00. If you have any youth on your heart or know any youth, just give them a call, send them a text. I think we've reported it on our, didn't you send it out on the Facebook? Okay. So come and serve the Lord. We'll get our youth together, and we love our youth. We appreciate them. But let's pray for the Marunga family. They've been through a lot these past couple of years. We really need to pray for them. They're hurting, and it was sudden, and we sure, we know one thing's for sure, God don't make a mistake.
Right.
We just got to remember, God doesn't make a mistake. Whatever he does it right.
Amen.
Amen. His time, not our time, his time. All right, so just remember them, and God bless you on the way home. Brother Bob's already prayed, so you can be dismissed. Let's give him a big hand. He did a wonderful job tonight. Amen. We sure do appreciate it. Appreciate all the ministers. So God bless you. We'll see you Saturday at 3:00 if you come into the youth service. And then Sunday will be a regular 10:00 service. And then Monday will be the burial. Thank you. God bless you. You're dismissed.
I love you.